Is America going the way of the Roman Empire? A growing number of Christians think so, and I'm one of them.
Rod Dreher talking about his presentation at the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
That's why I say that Christians today should take a new look at the way the early Benedictine monks, who emerged out of the ruins of Rome, responded to the collapse of their civilization. We can learn from them how to build stable lives of prayer, Bible study, and worship in strong communities. The Benedict option, as I call it, is not about running away from the world. It's about learning the practices of discipleship that enable us to stand firm for Christ against the world for the sake of the world.
You can meet and hear Rod Dreher making the case for the Benedict option at the Fall Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 10th and Saturday, November 11th in Houston, Texas. Registration is $120. Child care is free. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org.
This is what Americans have been subjected to for decades. Mainstream traditional values are mocked and ridiculed and disparaged by our main media voices.
We're buying every tenth of a degree Fahrenheit reduction in temperature at a price of $23.3 to $46.6 trillion. When we're asked that, doggone, the reasons had better be convincing.
The French Revolution had proper language at times. It had the right impetus, but it went in completely the wrong direction, and it ended up as a diabolical movement rather than a just movement.
When we think about our own sinfulness, we tend to be evening prayer pessimists rather than morning prayer optimists.
Kindergarten teachers from Baltimore love listening to Issues, Etc.
I imagine unless you are in the field of psychiatry or psychology, you, like me, probably learned the term gender dysphoria, a couple years ago. You might have been able to sort out what it meant before that, but the term had not yet been introduced popularly. Now there came Bruce Jenner, come Caitlyn Jenner, and several other more famous or less famous people who came out saying, well, I was born this and I don't want to be that. I think I'm actually a man in a woman's body or a woman in a man's body. That's a simplistic way of putting it. But the story is mostly focused around the rich, the famous, the people who could do this and make it look great. And then we started hearing stories about ordinary people who also were transitioning from one sex to another or making the attempt, at least cosmetically, to do so. But now the stories have turned in a very odd direction, haven't they? Maybe with the cover of, what was it, National Geographic at one point? A cover that featured transgendered children. So why are children now the focus of this very quick and rather blinding movement toward gender transition? It's a good question. Greetings and welcome to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Tuesday afternoon, the 11th of July. Walt Heyer joins us to talk about children and the diagnosis of gender dysphoria. Can it be diagnosed with absolute rock solid certainty, knowing this person is transgender and they will be the rest of their lives? Whatever they think they are now, they will think they are for the rest of their lives. So let's start transitioning them right now. Anna Musselman will join us after that. We'll talk about common sense media adding a positive gender representation category to its movie reviews. And then we'll go through some listener email and the Issues, Etc. comment line on this Tuesday afternoon. Joining us to talk about children and the diagnosis of gender dysphoria, Walt Heyer. He's a regular guest, public speaker, and mentor for individuals who have undergone gender change surgery, author of several books, including Gender, Lies, and Suicide, and a recent column for The Federalist titled Doctors Admit They Don't Know Which Kids Should Be Gender Transitioned, but they do it to them anyway. Walt, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Yeah, thanks, Todd, for having me on.
Why is there such an apparent rush to transition young children, young people?
Well, I believe that we have the LGBT, which is a group of sexual activists, and the transgender part of the component is one of the ways that they can erode the family structure. In other words, if you destroy gender and gender identity, then you can destroy the family structure of one man, one woman marriage. And when you have done that, then you basically begin to erode the whole family structure and the way that God intended it to be. And then you end up with a lot of people with broken families, broken lives, broken hearts. And it's very sickening to me, having been one of the children who went through this at the age of four. It's something that should not be happening, and it's actually, in my opinion, institutionalized child abuse.
Can you explain the connection that is often found between gender dysphoria and suicide or the threat of suicide?
Yeah, from the studies that I've looked at and the studies that I've written extensively about, is that what we have is gender dysphoria is really an explanation for someone having incongruence with the gender they were born in and the gender that they believe they should be. That incongruence, however, is actually founded on disorders, many disorders, whether it's separation anxiety or dissociative disorder, obsessive compulsive disorder, body dysmorphic disorder. So what we have then, the reason suicide becomes an issue is because the people helping children deal with these issues ignore what we call the comorbid disorders. Those are the mental disorders that are causing them to have a desire to change gender. So without proper psychotherapy, which now in many states they actually ban the children from being able to have access to, then the children are changed, their gender is changed, they're inappropriately told that they can change their gender when they really can't, except cosmetically or in their appearance, but they biologically don't change. So when they finally discover that, they become so depressed and so distraught that someone led them down this path and lied to them, that the only thing that they have left to do is to consider, how do I take my life? How do I end it? And so then you have a group of people, especially with young people from the age of about 12 to 24, about 50% of them will have suicide attempts, and another portion of them will certainly consider suicide. So changing genders or advocating for changing genders not only breaks down the family structure, it actually leads children to suicide attempts.
We are often given the impression that doctors, psychiatrists, and other medical professionals can examine and diagnose gender dysphoria and all the associated things and be able to judge whether or not this is a permanent emotional psychological condition. Is that true?
No, it is not true. The doctors cannot tell who is actually gender dysphoric or not gender dysphoric, except by the announcement of the child themselves. So what we're led into believe is that children now have the capability to be able to determine whether they have gender dysphoria or not, because the doctors can't do it. So if a child says, I have gender dysphoria, or I want to change genders, or I feel like I was trapped in the wrong body, the doctors automatically believe that, primarily because they cannot disprove it or prove it. They literally, this group of young children are the ones who self-diagnose, and the doctors then believe it, and then go on to give them hormone therapy and even advocate later in life that they cut up their body and change it or alter it into the different opposite gender.
Can you think of any other psychological, much less medical condition where the patient is permitted to self-diagnose and then the medical professionals proceed on that diagnosis alone?
No, it's not done. This is primarily because we have a power group, the LGBT, that is also a political powerhouse. It's also highly funded. Now it's infiltrated our schools. It's infiltrated our government. So if we were ever to actually sit down and appropriately analyze what gender dysphoria is and the appropriateness of the treatment, we would probably never ask a child to change their gender. What we would do is apply good psychotherapy in discovering what the comorbid disorder is and then treat the comorbid disorder, whether it's, like I said, body dysmorphia, or whether it's separation anxiety or dissociative disorder or schizophrenia. There are many disorders that can be properly treated with psychotherapy, but again, the LGBT is running around the United States trying to prevent young children from having access to psychotherapy if they say they're gender dysphoric. So I believe that the LGBT does not want you, your audience, or me to know that these kids are deeply suffering from these disorders. And keep in mind, it's a very, very small portion of the population. And what I found out, that many of them have been emotionally abused or psychologically abused or sexually abused, and that is what's caused those disorders to come about, and their desire to not want to be who they are, so they end up wanting to become a different gender as a way to escape the pain that they felt in their birth gender.
You hear from people who express these very thoughts, adults who have undergone various levels of gender transition and now look back on it and desire to change back, but they are fighting a losing battle against an agenda that says, as you write, that transition can only be a one-way street.
Right. Yeah, there is no support for people who come out and actually say, you know, going through a gender change fixes nothing. In fact, it causes much greater, deeper harm to their life, their bodies, emotionally and psychologically. So there's no support for that. That's why I have my website, sexchangeregret.com, and we're building a team of people to help detransitioners, is what they call them. They're people who eventually realize that they were led to believe something that's untrue, that is, that you can change your gender and have, quote, a happier life, when in fact they were suffering from some psychological, emotional, or social disorder.
Is this a, you called this institutionalized child abuse, and I think you're absolutely right. From the medical side, is this also malpractice?
Well, I believe it's malpractice. Anytime you're doing something, I mean, what doctors do you know as a collective group would not be prosecuted if 40% of their population was attempting suicide as a result of the treatment they're getting? And that's what we have with the adult population of transgenders, that over 40% of them will attempt suicide. I don't know anybody who's happy with their life that's doing everything they can to try to end it.
Often there's another connection here with suicide, and that is a person who desires to transition will make suicide the only other option. Either I transition or I end up killing myself. What do you make of that claim?
Well, that's what I call emotional blackmail. That's the way they get people to comply with their request. So they threaten them with suicide, and then people comply because they say, well, I'm going to do this so that they don't commit suicide. The only problem with that is that they go ahead with the blackmail and go ahead and help them transition, but then they end up attempting suicide anyway. So that's really not working. I would prefer to say, well, I'm going to get you psychotherapy and treat you for your suicide attempts and deal with why you're asking me to do something that's going to cause you to have attempted suicide.
Does that help explain, perhaps, Walt, why it is so many parents go along with both the doctors and perhaps the misperceptions on the part of their troubled children and advocate for transition with young people because they fear that if they don't, their son or daughter will kill themselves?
Well, I think that's partially true. I think also there's another group of parents that I'm seeing from the letters that I'm getting, and is that we now have a group of parents who have become advocates for transgenderism and are actually promoting transgender kids like it's something like they would explain it. I would explain their behaviors. They want people to think they're enlightened, that they're smarter than the rest of us, that they're more brilliant because they have a transgender child. And what they're really doing is abusing them psychologically and emotionally.
So what would you advise, having, in your case, lived this as an adult and detransitioned, what would you advise the many who contact you and say, I'd like to detransition, but I might lose my job if I go back to my birth gender, or something along those lines?
Right. Right. Well, I'm working with someone right now as we speak that has that issue. So I have a team of lawyers that we will represent the person and make sure that their job stays intact, that their retirement stays intact, that, you know, if they're getting protected for transitioning from male to female and given all the benefits of that, then if they detransition, they should have equal rights to detransition and still have all of those things protected as well. And we're going to make sure that they do. We're not going to let them get away with terminating the people.
Many people wonder, given the state of things today, Walt, you know, we never thought it would come to this, where transgenderism and transition were considered to be not only just tolerated and commonplace, but are now considered to be the healthy path of treatment for these troubled people. And they might ask, we've come to the end of our rope. What could possibly come next? In that agenda that you've spoken of several times here, are there further agenda items for the LGBT activists?
Well, I think once they completely delegitimize gender, we've already leaped the whole thing about marriage and same-sex marriage. Now that's thought of as a good thing. So I think they're just trying to destroy anything that's based on scripture, based on the church, based on our history. Keep in mind that everybody for the last many hundreds of years have always known what their gender was, what their sex was. It's only been recently with the advocation of the LGBT that all of a sudden we have a lot of people who are questioning what gender they are. I think the most dangerous group in our society today is the LGBT.
Walt Heyer is a public speaker and mentor for individuals who've undergone gender change surgery. He's author of several books, including Gender, Lies, and Suicide, and a recent column for The Federalist. Doctors admit they don't know which kids should gender transition, but they do it to them anyway. And you can read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Walt, thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
When we come back from this break, we're going to spend some time with Anna Mussman, a stay-at-home mother of two toddlers. She has noted recently that Common Sense Media, it's kind of a media watchdog group that looks at the, in particular, movies that are aimed at kids and offers little warnings and little summaries for parents. They've added a new category to their media reviews, and it's positive gender representation. I think that's the category. We'll talk about the good and the bad of that after the break.
Girls will be boys and boys will be girls. It's a mixed up, muddled up, shook up world. It's a muddle.
The church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century.
O come, O come, Emmanuel.
The 16th century. The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Memoria Press invites all Issues Etc. listeners to explore our Simply Classical curriculum, a set of full-year academic curriculum packages for children with learning challenges. Our classical writing program and our Christian studies are now based on your favorite CPH Bible storybooks. To learn more, visit classicalspecialneeds.com and use promo code LPR to save on your initial purchase. That's classicalspecialneeds.com.
Your pastor has been called to shepherd you as a member of Christ's flock. Doxology offers an innovative program of advanced study retreats where your pastor can be refreshed, renewed, and refocused. Find out more at doxology.us. Many pastors report that doxology has been one of the most valuable learning experiences since seminary. Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. Doxology.us. Doxology.us.